played a pivotal role in educating our people, we must also recognize that many of them, they are designed to indoctrinate Black people into buying into this American capitalist system. As the civil rights movement afforded Black people, quote unquote, more rights, these white-only schools, they began to become integrated. And in the North and in the West Coast, as Black folks fled the South, they began integrating schools that were white-only. One of these places and one of these schools that began to get integrated was in Oakland. As the civil rights movement afforded Black people more rights, white-only schools began to become more integrated. And in the North and West Coast, as Black folks fled their racist Jim Crow South, they began integrating schools that were white-only. One of the places schools began to be integrated in is in Oakland. But these schools, they still used racist disciplinary codes, created school police departments to police Black students, and they were also, these white kids, they was also attacking Black classmates who were integrating into these schools. This led to Huey Newton, who was the co-founder of the Black Panther Party, to create a gang called the Brotherhood to stop the violence that white students was enacting onto Black students. This experience is a major reason why the Black Panther Party's fifth point of their 10-point program was, quote, "We want education for our people that exposes the true nature of this decadent American society. We want education that teaches us our true history and role in the present-day society." And today, it is very clear that that message is still rings true. The school system is rooted in American apartheid. Parents are arrested through racist truancy laws. Black girls are literally dragged by racist cops within the classroom. Black students are suspended at a higher rate than whites. Schools are still segregated. Whites go to college more than Black people. And the list, it literally goes on and on. And all this is rooted in the legacy of slavery. It's clear that these schools, they aren't ours. And our people still aren't getting a true education. But this is literally what the system is all about. It's about indoctrination, not about liberatory education. And that's what we have is a liberatory education that will free us from Euro-American colonial control. This is Power to the People.
And that was our show, everyone. Thank you for watching, and please tune in next week for another episode of We the People. I'm your host, Daniel Aria, and it's goodbye.
A diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
The limelight.
We cannot rely on the Western media to tell the whole truth about Palestine, says Paul Salvatore, journalist, in an article published under the heading "Justice for Palestine Cannot Depend on Media Coverage." Stay tuned for more. Countless articles are already out there on the necessity of world crises, as well as being critical of the media's double standard of covering atrocities inflicted by different states, but not the Zionist regime. You can easily find them online if by chance, stress by chance, haven't seen them. We want to focus on what the lack of Palestinian coverage is doing. It is further undermining confidence that the world cares about Palestine as much as it does about other countries. Perhaps that would be different if the media, actually we are referring to Western media unless otherwise specified, made it okay to support Palestine instead of routinely framing or reducing it to the bane of the Zionist regime. We don't think people realize how terrorized Palestinians themselves are by the Zionist regime, daily being harassed, killed, abused, dispossessed by this regime. We only hear about Palestine, it seems that, when it is under aerial siege, such as last year in May. Even then, however, the media presents a picture of the Zionist regime defending itself against resistance groups or some other enemy of freedom and democracy. In contrast to its stance on Ukraine, the Western media never portrays Palestine as engaged in legitimate resistance against an oppressive force. No, the Palestinian is always a criminal. The Zionist regime, the perpetual victim that can do and does no wrong, as they baselessly claim. Underlying this is the troubling assumption that the Zionist regime has a right to geography and occupies, be it to the detriment of the innocent Palestinian population. Capturing this, Michael Pryor in The Right to the Expel, The Bible and Ethnic Cleansing writes, "What makes the case of Israel-Palestine unique is the claim that the consequential expulsion of the indigenous non-Jewish population belongs within the domain of the rights of those perpetrating the expulsion, rather than being merely the fruit of force. The designation right implies the support of a moral framework bestowing legitimacy, while conquest is conquest, the product of military might, which, in the eyes of the victims, at least last, lacks legitimacy," unquote. Likewise, the media obscures just how often the Zionist regime employs the illegitimate use of force. Instead, they give audiences the false impression that there is occasional flaring of tensions between the Zionist regime and Palestine, as if the former is not proactive in ethnically cleansing the latter, let alone engaged in any form of violence at all. Still others, who object to people making noise about Palestine till Palestine is not going and is not getting as much coverage as Ukraine because the conflict between the Zionist regime and Palestine is old news. The implication, what's happening between the two is normal, a lost cause, that we should turn our attention to what matters now. Those who think this way may be rightfully sympathetic to Ukraine, but there are undoubtedly ignorant too. And that ignorance will be used against them by media to continually divert their attention from Palestine and to any big story, however important, on its merits. We cannot rely on the Western media to tell the whole truth about Palestine, Rather, drawing from the present as a teachable moment, we must strategize ways of amplifying what is happening in Palestine. That can surely and is being done by alternative media, including the one you are listening now. Other ways include demonstrations, petitions, pressuring political representatives to take reports like Amnesty International's recent one on Israeli regime apartheid seriously, and of course continue the efforts through BDS, targeting key political and economic institutions that allow the Zionist regime to commit crimes against humanity with relative impunity. In the process, our morale is boosted, overcoming the loss of confidence described and maintaining a spiritedness required to fight oppression in any form. Apart from indignation, the sadness of seeing Palestine suffer afflicts all in its struggle for justice. Yet, the more we turn outward and act collectively, the closer we move towards achieving that. How the media covers, that is secondary. Essential is that we do not lose faith in the struggle or one another.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We are looking at the supplications of Al-Imam Ali ibn Hussein al-Sajjad, which are found in the book As-Sahifatu al-Sajjadiyya, specifically supplication number 8, and we are still looking at the first verse where the Imam is seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from envy and jealousy. Now, with patience, it comes at places where we need it the most, like calamities and problems. And we said calamities and problems happens for a number of reasons. Today, I would like to look at few or two more, and then we conclude with that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He found it in His infinitive wisdom that in order for Him to bring His servants closer to Him, that sometimes the servant themselves, they derail, you know, just like children. If we don't maintain them and bring them to the right path, they will derail. And in the process of us trying to bring them back, obviously children don't like to be told what to do and, you know, to stop them from doing things they love. Same thing with us when it comes to our relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the reason and the cause of calamities that you need to be patient on is the fact it makes me love you, and it makes us, you know, get into this special connection where a person loves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a beautiful hadith that I will narrate to you right after the break. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses that. So stay with us and we will continue.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. Just before the break, I was saying that there is a beautiful hadith that talks about calamities, problems, patience, and how it makes people love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel, the archangel, came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Messenger, Allah sends you His regards and His greetings, and He says, إِنِّي أَوْحَيْتُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا أَن تَمَرِّي وَتَكَدَّرِي وَتَضَيَّقِي وَتَشَدَّدِي عَلَى أَوْلِيَائِي. I ordered life to become sour, bitter, and harsh on my believers. Why, O Allah, we ask? He says, حَتَّى يُحِبُّ لِقَائِي. So they would love to meet me. Now, when life is sour and bitter, when life is harsh and when life is difficult, me and you, who do we turn to? We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we want to meet Allah and we beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we ask Him to forgive us, we ask Him to give us and to bless us, right? So that's a good thing, not a bad thing. So Allah says, I've done so just so my servant can come back to me, just so me and you could return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in return, Allah says to the world, وَتَيَسَّرِي وَتَسَحَّلِي وَتَطَيَّبِي لِأَعْدَائِي. And become easy and beautiful and smell nice for my enemies. Why, O Allah? Because He says, حَتَّى يَبْغُضُوا لِقَائِي. So they hate meeting me. Well, obviously the enemies of Allah and the lovers of Allah, they're two different categories. So Allah says, if I love my servant, I make it harsh for them so they could come. The enemies, I make it easy for them because they don't want to meet me anyway. So I don't want to meet them either. So I keep giving them more, make their life more easy. This way, they don't wish to meet me. Where my believers, when I make it hard, the harsher I make it, the more they want to come to me. فَإِنِّي جَعَلْتُ الدُّنْيَا سِجِنًا لِأَوْلِيَائِي. For I made this world a prison for my lovers, for my followers, for my servants. وَجَنَّةٌ لِأَعْدَائِي. And a heaven for my enemies. So me and you, brothers and sisters, we love to meet Allah. We love to be in Allah's presence. So therefore Allah says, I will create a way for you to come to me. Stay with us. We will come back right after.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Again, with calamities and problems which that deserves patience and needs patience. In fact, it's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when a mu'min gets trialed and he gets to see difficulties in his life, there's nothing that is nothing but, in fact, a blessing from Allah and a reward and a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How so, you might say? How is a problem, a difficulty, is a gift from Allah? A hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, لَا تَكُونَ مُؤْمِنًا حَتَّى تَأَدَّ الْبَلَاءَ نَعْمَةً وَالرَّخَاءَ مَعْنَةً وَالرَّخَاءَ مَحْنَةً. You will not be a believer until you consider calamities and problems to be a blessing and ease to be a trial. لِأَنَّ بَلَاءَ الدُّنْيَا نَعْمَةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. For the calamities and the problems of this world are the blessings of the other world. وَرَخَاءَ الدُّنْيَا مَحْنَةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And the ease of this world is in fact a difficulty in the other world. When I die, I come to Allah. Oh Allah, I've faced so much problems, you know, poverty, my spouse was bad, my kids were bad, I did not have this and that and this and that, I was faced with this and that. Allah says, my servant, you've been through too much. Here's heaven for you. Come in. You're welcome. Where if I had an easy life, I had everything I ever wanted, everything I desired, on Day of Judgment, Allah says to me, well, you've lived the life, now it's time to question you. Even if you haven't done haram, you'll still be questioned. And the more blessings Allah has given me in this life, the more ease, the longer the questioning. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts someone to question, then Allah will shame him. So we as mu'mineen, we need to look at this bala, these trials, as what? Blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what we need to do is have patience, have sabr. And this is what the imam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him, more sabr, more patience. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواد از کف دهن عشق و تولای تو را. یا
In the limelight.
High inflation in the United States basically reflects two forces. Under one side, there's a lot of disruption. Rising oil and food prices made worse by the conflict in Ukraine, snarled supply chains, and so on. These factors are the reason inflation is way up everywhere and not just in the United States. The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times opinion columnist Paul Krugman. The piece is titled, Keep Your Eye on the Three Fs. High inflation in the United States basically reflects two forces. On one side, there is a lot of disruption. Rising oil and food prices, made worse by the conflict in Ukraine, snarled supply chains, and so on. These factors are the reason inflation is way up everywhere and not just in the United States. On the other side, the US economy is running very hot, with widespread labor shortages. You can see this overheating in lots of data, but it's also visible to the naked eye. So far, at least, there is no sign of a third possible factor: inflation driven by entrenched expectations of inflation, in which businesses raise prices because they believe other businesses will raise prices. But that factor could emerge if inflation stays high, so prudence demands that we try to rein in prices right now. And while the disruptions will fade over time, there are already hints of improvement in supply chains. It pains me to say that we can't safely let the economy keep running this hot. The reason this pains me is that there are many very good things about a tight labour market in which jobs are easy to find. A buoyant job market is especially important for the young. Recent university graduates who have the misfortune to enter a weak market can suffer long-term damage to their career prospects. Unfortunately, we do need some cooling off. What I'm not sure people realise is the extent to which policies and events have already set the stage for the big cool-down. Start with the US Federal Reserve, which is under widespread attack for being behind the curve. It's true that so far, the US Federal Reserve has raised short-term interest rates, which are what it directly controls, by only a measly 0.25 percentage point. But short-term interest rates aren't directly important for the economy. A business considering, say, borrowing to pay for a software upgrade that will be obsolete in 2 years doesn't care much what interest rate it has to pay. Monetary policy mainly works through the effect of interest rates on long-lived investments, especially housing construction, which in turn means that long-term interest rates are what matters. And long-term interest rates reflect not just what the US Federal Reserve has already done, but also what it's expected to do. The Fed's pivot to inflation fighting has already sent long interest rates, especially mortgage interest rates, way up. This by itself is going to slow down construction and substantially cool off the economy. Then there is fiscal policy. A year ago, the American Rescue Plan provided families with a lot of financial aid. One-time stimulus payments, enhanced unemployment benefits, and an expanded child tax credit. All of that is now in the past. The last piece of that spending, the child tax credit, expired at the beginning of this year. Like it or not, and mostly I don't, this cut-off of federal aid is likely to weaken consumer spending. Finally, the conflict in Ukraine has been driving up food and fuel prices, and it's already weighing on family budgets in the US, probably leading to lower spending on other things. You might wonder whether higher oil prices will really be a drag on the US economy. We are, after all, more or less self-sufficient in oil. And we're a net exporter of food. So why should higher oil and food prices make America poorer? The answer is that on average, they don't. While they make many Americans poorer, they also make some other Americans richer. But it's a good bet that those who are made poorer will cut their spending more than those who are made richer will increase it. In particular, while oil companies have suddenly become much more profitable, the disastrous excesses of the shale bubble have made them reluctant to increase investment and production. To put all of this together, policy and events are seriously putting the brakes on the rapid expansion of the US economy has experienced since the pandemic recession. So I'm much less worried than many observers that the US Federal Reserve is behind the curve in responding to an overheated economy. If anything, I'm starting to worry that the US Federal Reserve may find itself behind a curve as the economy cools off more rapidly than its board members seem to expect. Will the unemployment rate really be only 3.5% at the end of this year? And yes, I'm aware that it's mixing metaphors to say that the economy is cooling down because we're hitting the brakes. The US economy is too darn hot. But maybe not for long.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
Thank you.
آقایی بود به نام یوسف ابن یعقوب. ایشون مسیحی بود.
A Christian man by the name of Yusuf ibn Yaqub was one of the politicians at the time of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Once, Mutawakkil al-Abbasi commanded him to go to his court. He was frightened, since he knew that if Mutawakkil invites someone to his court, he will be either punished or tortured. He prepared himself to go to Samarra to visit Mutawakkil's court. Yusuf ibn Ya'qub was given the news by his Shiite neighbor that if he fears to go to Mutawakkil's court, it's better to first go and visit Imam al-Hadi and ask him to pray for him. Yusuf ibn Ya'qub also promised himself that if his call is answered by God through Imam al-Hadi, he will give 100 dinars in charity for the sake of God. He went to the house of Imam al-Hadi. However, before saying anything, Imam al-Hadi predicted for him the glad tidings of being free from the punishment of Mutawakkil. When Yusuf ibn Ya'qub was leaving the house, Imam al-Hadi told his companions, "He leaves us and his wish is answered by Allah. However, he will die without converting to Islam."
ولی آقا فرمود خدا یه پسری به این میده از شیعیان ما میشه.
However, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam predicted that a son will be given to Yusuf ibn Ya'qub, who will become a Shiite of the Ahlul Bayt. This prediction of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam became true, and the son of Yusuf ibn Ya'qub became a Shia. The son called himself the glad tiding of Imam al-Hadi. This son of Yusuf ibn Ya'qub will call himself the happy news, since Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam prayed for his father. Sometimes there are some people who don't believe in the concept of wilaya of the Shia imams. However, they love them. This type of love will have its own effect on their lives too. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
Nowruz, painting of human morals. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. Dear listeners, we are with you with another episode of Nowruz special series. Almighty God very beautifully manifests His power and mercy in spring. The glorious nature is full of hints and messages for mankind. God expects us to feel the issue of life, death, and revival to reach the understanding that it is God who causes the earth to die and grants it new life. He displays his infinite mercy in spring to teach us to be kind toward fellow men. Spring is the symbol of mercy and can be the generosity of Almighty God. That's why verse 50 of chapter Rum reads, "So observe the effects of Allah's mercy, how He revives the earth after its death. Indeed, He is the reviver of the dead, and He has power over all things." We humans unceasingly try for a better condition, sometimes for buying home appliances, getting a social position, acquiring more knowledge, or having more pleasure. However, none of these things will grant us eternal joy and calm. The human nature seeks God, and for this reason, it is always in pursuit of real perfection. We humans are after absolute perfection, but often we lose it as we have got accustomed to objects and material world and take worldly goals for ultimate goals. But then we understand that we have not reached perfection and seek a loftier degree of perfection. Thus, this trend continues. In short, it is only being a good servant of God and proximity of God which can fulfill human sense of seeking the ultimate perfection. In this way, human being will become God's vicegerent on earth. If man does not consider himself as a God-forsaken object and discovers his capacities, he will never accept to spend his being for paltry matters. According to religious texts, the ultimate goal of human movement and endeavor is to reach God's proximity. Accordingly, part of verse 110 of chapter Kahf of the Noble Quran reads, "So whoever expects to encounter his Lord, let him act righteously and not associate anyone with the worship of his Lord." As it was said, the proximity of God and faith in God are accepted only with righteous deed. Faith and righteous deed will provide man eternal salvation. God says in verse 7 of chapter Al-Bayyinah, "Indeed, those who have faith and do righteous deeds, it is they who are the best of creatures." As we see, God calls the faithful who do good deeds as the best creatures. Then he says, in the next verse of the same chapter, "The reward near the Lord is the gardens of Eden, with the streams running in them, to remain in them forever. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. That is for those who fear the Lord." Islam has considered morality as the best righteous deed which shapes every Muslim's individual and social life. Nowruz is a good period to practice morality and righteous deeds. The more one manifests godly virtues to fellow men, the more he will get God's proximity and his color will be that of God, as the Quran says in verse 138 of chapter Baqarah of the Quran, "The baptism of Allah, and who baptizes better than Allah, and Him do we worship." Dear listeners, an individual wants to be God's true servant. He should be decorated with ethics. Moral merits will cause human beings to attain high degrees of God's servitude. In view of this, God introduces Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as the best role model for mankind. And in verse 4 of chapter, Qalam says, "And indeed you possess a great character." Yes, the Prophet of Islam enjoys a very lofty character, as he had been ordained as the seal of prophets, whose religion will encompass the entire universe to cleanse mankind from ignorance and remove all vestiges of injustice, negligence, and waywardness. He has been selected by God to guide mankind to the best characteristics, which will be achieved through servitude of God. Spring is a good opportunity which inspires us to discover the precious jewel of our nature and seek God and prioritize His pleasure over everything.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on March 10th, 2022 by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with the chairman and members of the Assembly of Experts. The meeting was held at the end of the ninth session of the Assembly. Once I asked Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, may God bestow paradise on him, which prayer he was more interested in or more attached to. I do not exactly remember my wording, but it was something like this. And he thought about it a little bit and said, Dua Kumail and Dua Sha'baniya. As it happens, these two prayers, Dua Kumail too, is really astonishing, are very similar to one another in terms of content, even in terms of form. They are very close to one another. Dua Sha'baniya is truly an opportunity. O God, give me a heart whose love of you makes me closer to you, and bestow upon me a tongue whose sincerity rises towards you, and a sight whose sharpness causes me to get close to your realm. There is another section which says, I swear to your pure being, asking beseechingly, to take me to the house where I obey you, and to the eternal mansion where you are satisfied with me.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
I I could equally mention this section, which was frequently recited by Imam, may God bestow paradise on him, in his speeches. Dear God, bestow on me separation from everything but you, and shower on me complete connection to your realm. Kindle my eyes with the light of your vision. Until the light in your hearts breaks the veils of light that keep us away from you. Well, these are extraordinary teachings, and fortunate are those who have access to the prayers, and whose minds, hearts, and souls are familiar with these concepts, and who have a correct understanding of them. They are really fortunate. I hope that God will make us as fortunate. In any case, this is a blessed month, and I hope that we can make the most of it and benefit from it as much as we can. The Assembly of Experts is a legal institution that plays a great part in the strength of the Islamic government.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
The Saudi siege, a war crime and a genocide is the title of the seventh official report published by Yemen's Ministry of Human Rights in the capital Sana'a. The report highlights the impact of the Saudi blockade on the humanitarian situation in Yemen.
Mr. Abdul Malik al-Houthi was clear in his speech when he said that we will not stand idly by and we will not allow this siege to continue to Saudi Arabia and its allies, that we will use our right to respond. Any country has to protect its citizens. Therefore, I believe that the coming days are fraught with surprises. Saudi Arabia has maintained an all-out blockade on Yemen and prevents the entry of food, medicine, and fuel, and this is genocide.
Officials say the Saudi-led coalition has committed thousands of war crimes against Yemeni women and children during 7 years of war. They also say Riyadh's breach of international law is covered up politically by the United Nations.
We've entered the eighth year. Saudi-led coalition is still committing war crimes against Yemenis, especially the siege, which takes more lives than airstrikes. Public services, especially the health sector, have been greatly affected by the lack of fuel, and this threatens the lives of thousands of patients. Unfortunately, the United Nations provides the political cover-up for the illegal acts of Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia, backed by Washington, launched a deadly war on Yemen in March 2015, killing tens of thousands of civilians, including women and children. The United Nations describes war-torn Yemen as the world's worst humanitarian crisis, but has taken no action to end this humanitarian catastrophe.
Observers say Saudi Arabia is still committing war crimes as it refuses to lift the siege on the country, depriving millions of Yemenis of food and medicine and causing more lives, especially for patients, amid the collapse of the health sector and the continued closure of Sana'a Airport. Abdulatif Loshali, Sana'a.
A
Islamic resistance movement Hamas in Lebanon held a mass rally to commemorate Land Day in the southern town of Saida. Hamas leaders considered this event as an occasion not only to remember Palestine, but a day to resist.
Land Day has become more significant with the qualitative operations which are occurring in Palestine, especially the last operation, which is the slogan for the upcoming phase. This will be the state of Palestinians in the West Bank, in Al-Quds, in the lands of 1948, the state of declared and continuous struggle against the Zionist enemy, backed by a capable resistance in Gaza. Land Day this year is being commemorated with an aroma of victory, of heroic endeavors to prove that the land is ours.
Hamas also says Israeli policies of annexing land and building settlements have not stopped the Palestinian nationals from their struggle.
Today, the Palestinian people and behind them, the Palestinian resistance, are sending a message to the Zionist entity that Palestinian land will not change its identity. This land will remain Palestinian, Arab and Muslim, and the Zionist occupation, with all its crimes and swallowing of more land and building settlements, will not be able to change the national identity of Palestine.
Palestinian refugees in Lebanon, many of whom were born and raised in Lebanon, say they grow more attached to Palestine day by day. Every generation becomes even more determined to return.
In the Maya Maya refugee camp in Saida, the youth, the men and women, everyone were joyous and cheering after they heard of the excellent operation. They were even saying that liberation is near and that Eid has come earlier this year. This was the situation in all the camps, and this proves that day by day our children, women and men are attached to the land of Palestine and have more hope in liberation.
Speakers at the rally stressed that the resistance in Palestine is stronger than ever, the support it has from the entire resistance alliance in the region.
Land Day is commemorated by Palestinians all over the world as a pivotal date to mark their attachment to their land. With recent unprecedented events, the people's resistance, even in land occupied by Israel in 1948, is growing more vibrant, making the dream of liberating Palestine more possible than any time in the past. Maryam Saleh, South Lebanon.
For 8 years, Donbas, a region of eastern Ukraine that did not accept the results of the Kyiv coup in 2014, has been under frequent shelling from national battalions and the armed forces of Ukraine. Residents of Donbas called it a war crime against the people, and from that moment Ukraine ceased to be a state in their eyes. According to Russian investigators, the actions of the Ukrainian military led to the deaths of more than 2,600 civilians, while more than 5,500 people were injured. 2,200 civilian infrastructure facilities were destroyed.
This is a town, a school number 50 of the sadly known town of Gorlovka in the Donbas region, which is being shelled regularly.
The last time it was shelled by Ukrainian artillery on 24th of February, the teachers died on the spot. But one of the heaviest recent shellings, hushed up by the Western media, happened on March 14 in Donetsk. The Ukrainian military hit the center of the city with a Tochka-U tactical missile equipped with a cluster warhead. The rocket was shot down, but due to the fall of debris, 23 people died and 18 were injured.
The special operation of Russia is our opportunity to defend ourselves, the possibility that the Donbas will not be destroyed and hundreds of thousands of civilians will not be lost due to the Ukrainian aggression. We will be able to remain ourselves. We will be able to speak Russian, our native language, with which we were born and studied. We will have the right to relate to the history and results of the great patriotic war without manipulation. Our grandfathers and great-grandfathers can be considered the winners against fascism and in no other way. Thanks to Russia's special operation, joy and hope for a just future appeared in the Donbas.
The ultimate goal of our republic is to hold a referendum in which the people exercise their constitutional right and express their opinion on